Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Experience travel the way it's meant to be. Fully guided and extraordinary.
Initial Lar Jasagum and Shudda Forshti. Sarah Gannon has written and illustrated a story for children, and she drew inspiration from her own 6-year-old daughter Kira for the book. It's called Just See Me, and it's published by Austin Macaulay Publishers. And I'm really delighted to welcome new author Sarah Gannon to studio. Morning, Sarah.
Morning. Thanks so much
it's
for having me.
Such a gorgeous book. But listen, before we get into it itself, and the message you want to get across, tell me first about you. You're an occupational therapist. That's your day job.
It is, yeah. So I've been working as a paediatric occupational therapist since I qualified in 2008. I've worked in lots of different areas in the community and early intervention teams, school age teams. I worked for 10 years in Temple Street Children's Hospital, which I loved. And I'm currently in a children's disability team in Enable Ireland in Kilkenny. So it's lovely that I've all that experience and it's helped with Kira, but I have a real passion for working with kids with disability, and it's something I love doing. So
tell me about Kira and when you first found out, Sarah, that she might have been born with a disability.
Yeah, it was a typical pregnancy until about the 20-week scan. And then they discovered she was going to have a cleft lip. We didn't know anything else at that point, and they kind of monitored her for the rest of the pregnancy. And we met with the cleft team antenatally, which was really helpful. But it was only after she was born, really, that the other things started to become apparent. So she had a bit of a heart murmur, and she had a complete bilateral cleft lip and palate, which would need more surgeries. And her ears were a bit of a funny shape and hypoplastic. So they started then thinking, OK, there might be a syndrome of some kind going on here. But the whole process of diagnosis, I suppose she was about 11 months when they found out she has a rare gene mutation and a syndrome that's called CHARGE syndrome, which is pretty rare. There's it's about 1 in 10,000 incidents. So there's only about 20 kids in Ireland with it. But it can present with lots of differences, and visual and hearing impairments are very common. So a lot of children with CHARGE would be deaf blind. So that's where we've landed as well. It was a long process getting to all those answers. So she was in the NICU for a couple of weeks, and it was kind of day by day we found out more news. So first we found out she'd have a significant visual impairment because of coloboma. So the back of her eye hadn't developed properly, and her optic nerve and disc. So we were told she'd have no central field of vision and no colour. And then when we moved to Temple Street, we discovered the hearing was also impacted at a moderate level, and then her swallow as well. So she was she's still peg tube fed, and had an NG at the beginning, and then cardiac stuff and all the cleft stuff. So it was just kind of blow after blow at the beginning, to be honest. It was pretty tough, but we got home at about 6.5 weeks, which is pretty early for a kid with CHARGE, actually. And then we were just navigating the world of what happens after that, and trying to figure out what services were out there to help.
Now, you and your husband, you were a young couple, first child. Mm-hmm. How did you both deal with this reality that there was something very, very wrong with your little daughter?
Yeah, it was difficult. We had lots of family support, thankfully. In some ways, it was our first child, so we kind of didn't know any different. We were just going through what people were telling us and trying to do the best by her. I obviously had some awareness working in Temple Street myself of what might be ahead, which is sometimes trickier. But I suppose we were just trying to deal with each thing as it came. And I had worked with children with visual impairments before, but the hearing and the deaf or hard of hearing world was very new to me. So there was a lot of learning, and you end up having to become the expert on your child. And particularly with a rare condition like CHARGE, you end up having to teach the professionals, because they may never have seen another child with it. So we had to work hard together to figure it all out. And we linked, late night Googling helped me come across an organisation called the Anne Sullivan Foundation. And that was set up by parents in the 80s to support children who are deafblind and help them live more independently in the community. And They're funded for a residential service in Stillorgan, but they have an national outreach service, which is fully charity funded. And they have 3 outreach workers, and one came out to our house when Kira was just a baby. And she was fabulous. Just, I suppose, explaining how we could play with her, how we could bring the world to her, because we didn't know what she can see. We still don't really know what she can see and what she could hear. So she does wear glasses for distance and hearing aids to get access to some speech sounds. But when you have the compounding impact, a lot of people think deaf blindness means you're fully deaf and fully blind, but it's not that. It's actually when there's a combination of the both, and it's the compounding impact of one on the other when you can't rely. Deirdre, the deafblind consultant, was amazing at just helping us understand. I remember she explained that there's a bubble around Kira, and that's all she can see and hear, and you need to bring the world to her. Mm-hmm. And she taught us about this active learning space thing that we ended up making. It's a little room that Kira could play in, where she would have extra acoustics and things on elastics that she could reach easily. And it really just helped her development, and it helped us have something to do, really. It was hard because it took a long process to figure out exactly what we were dealing with, and we still don't know because it's such a range. But you just do your best every day, and she's a bright, sweet, engaging little kid. Like she's very happy and loves a bit of crack and tickles and whatever. She does make it worth it. But yeah, some days are tricky.
So what does charge actually entail? Like, you mentioned deaf and blind, but is she also peg fed? I mean, and does she also have autism?
She does. So charge syndrome, like most syndromes, can have a huge range of differences. Originally, the CHARGE was an acronym for different areas that were impacted. They've changed the criteria now, but the colobomas are very common, and the hearing impairments are very common. So that deaf blindness often presents, but swallowing difficulties and messages from the brain to the swallow can be impacted from cranial nerve issues, which is why her swallow isn't great, and it would have gone into her lungs. So that's why she needed the tube. The autism diagnosis is a bit trickier because she meets the criteria for autism and definitely presents as a child with those behavioural and social communication needs. But it's sometimes chicken and egg, which is which, because the deaf blindness and the charge will impact your behaviours in a similar way. But it helps for people to understand her needs, because it does present in a similar way. But she also has a mild to moderate intellectual disability. So she's in a lovely little special school down in Kilkenny called the Mother Fair Love, which really suits that mild to moderate need. And it's tricky to get a picture of her needs, because she doesn't you can't do all the standardized assessments with her, because say even the hearing test, she can't see the visual rewards, or even the cognitive assessments, she might not understand the process, or so I suppose figuring out exactly where she is, a lot of these kids can be underestimated, and it's really hard to figure out their real strengths. And that's partially what prompted me to do the book, really, that there is more beyond their disability.
Yeah, which is amazing. Do you think, because you are an OT and with all your experience with other children with disability, that you maybe realise more than others how much potential your little daughter Kira has?
Yeah, I hope so. I think sometimes as health professionals, we get stuck in the medical model and looking at the negatives. And sometimes parents actually are better at seeing the strengths than us. But it's actually lovely to see it from both sides now. And it's changed how I work as a professional. It's changed, programs I provide to parents. I think I know what's a bit more realistic now. I suppose just realizing everything that they're going through to navigate all the services and how much they're trying to advocate for their kids. But yeah, definitely it helps me reach out to the right places and get the right supports for her as much as I can.
She's a cute little personality as well, though, doesn't she? Like, tell me, she loves to pull out her hearing aids. Like, she's mischievous.
Oh, absolutely. She is determined. She will, if she doesn't want to do something, the hearing aids and glasses come off. And school have learned that the hard way. So she's very determined, and she knows what she wants. And while her communication is quite delayed, she used to use law of signs, and now she's got some speech, but she can't always get out what she wants to get out, or you mightn't understand her. So but she will get her point across. She is. She knows what she wants, for sure.
And she has a little brother now, David, of course, who's four.
That's right, yeah.
Is it Is it very different then when you have a baby, I suppose, who doesn't have all those additional needs?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, we were very closely monitored in the pregnancy. Like I said, it's a random gene mutation, so the risk of it reoccurring was extremely low. But we were still nervous, obviously. And David is flying it and typically developing, but it does. You see them just sitting up and that's just it. And you're like, what? That, you know, or learning to walk, which took Kira, I think she was cruising for 2 years before she was able to walk. And, you know, you put so much work into getting her to crawl and he just goes and does it. So it is. It's lovely to watch. It's fascinating. But it does, when he overtakes her and things, it can be tricky. And that's natural and it's what happens. But it also levels you in understanding that, you know, they just want to play together and seeing them have the crack it's lovely. They're really at that stage now where he just wants to make her laugh and he's very compassionate and very sweet and he understands everything. Like Kira's peg tube fed, but we've recently started doing a blended tube diet. So we blend up real food and put it in her tube. And someone said something about, oh, that's Kira's tube feed someday. And David said, no, that's her blend. You know, so he's like the little expert in everything and he'll run off and get syringes. And, you know, he's very sweet and she's mad about him.
Which is lovely. And I'm struck by how positive you are. Mm-hmm. Is there an inevitable sadness when you look at David and see how a four-year-old with no additional needs develops? And in a way that Kira will never develop.
Yeah, absolutely. That comparison is really hard not to do. But yeah, and I am. And there is. And you don't know what the future holds. And we don't know, you know, will she be able to live independently or any of that stuff. So it is tricky sometimes looking at him just flying along. But I think it makes, when she does reach a milestone or do something that she hasn't done before, it makes it all the more amazing. You know, it really does. Like she, you know, she's, I think it was last year, she said, I love you for the first time, which is huge at five, you know, and with meaning and an appropriate time or whatever. So I think it almost makes it mean more when she does something because he just does it and he doesn't even think about it, where she works so hard.
Where were you and what circumstance did she say, I love you for the first time? Can you remember?
Oh, it was just randomly in the kitchen. I think I was cooking dinner and she just grabbed my leg and said, I love you, mummy. And I went, what? Yeah, so she does it now more regularly, which is lovely.
This great book you've written, did you write it in a way for the sisters and brothers of children? It's called Just See Me and it's really about Kira, isn't it?
It is, yeah. She was definitely the inspiration for it. And I suppose I wrote a little poem about seeing beyond someone's difference. So the idea is it's a poem about a little girl who's deafblind, inspired by her, who has, you know, her K-walker and her peg feeds and, you know, gets a bit sensory overloaded and doesn't like loud noises or wears hearing aids and glasses. And but underneath it, she just wants to play and she just wants to have fun. And that's the reality for Kira. She, you know, that is, those things don't define her. And I suppose it's for the siblings, but the siblings kind of know it. It's kind of for the other kids. It's really for the mainstream environment and population. You know, I'd love for parents to read it with their kids, for them to understand and not be afraid of disability and to kind of reduce that ableism and that othering of, you know, you can't, like, we get kids approaching us in the playground, you know, what's wrong with her lip? And, you know, why do you have that? What are you putting in her tummy? And I just tell them, and I love that openness, whereas the parents are like, shh, don't ask. And, you know, don't, and they're embarrassed and because that fear of disability is there. Whereas I love just kind of normalizing it and saying, yeah, the doctor's put a tube in her tummy and that's how we feed her and they fixed her lip. And, you know, and the kids are totally okay with it. And I think a book and educating the parents as well as the kids that is just the cards she's been dealt and she's happy out and still wants to get on with life and to not be afraid of it, really.
That is so interesting. And I mean, are there things people say and shouldn't say? And what would they be? In other words, do you find people are still awkward about what they should say when they meet someone like you with maybe Kira?
They can be, you know, mostly, and all of it's well-intentioned. And you know, on one day you might take something up one way and another day you might. So I wouldn't say there's a definite, you know, wrong thing to say. Sometimes it stings when people say things like, oh, I couldn't do what you do and I couldn't whatever. But you do whatever you can for your kids, regardless of their situation. So I think you would do it if that was your situation because you love them. And that's, you know, what else are you going to do? So I think there's no real wrong thing. I think just being open. And if you're not sure, just ask someone. Like, say there's a lot of PC now about, say, even autism and, you know, you should call someone autistic and it's identity first or not identity first language and all of the, it's a bit of a minefield sometimes. So I think if you're not sure, just ask someone and say, what would you prefer me to say? And usually people prefer that open approach. But mostly people are very well intentioned and they just don't know and they're a bit nervous and they don't want to offend. So they kind of say nothing or run the other way.
But that's why, in a way, this book is great, this children's book, because what you're really, as you say, you're trying to out the idea of othering, aren't you? People don't mean it.
No.
But it still happens, doesn't it, all the time?
Definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, our education system is getting better at inclusion and trying to get kids in mainstream schools and or wherever's appropriate for them. And there is more of, you know, in the media and social media and everything about disability. But sometimes, you know, and I'm conscious that I am not the person with the disability. I'm her parent. So there is some people who are like, it's not your voice, but I'm trying to give her a voice. That's what the book is about. And I'd love people just to, just see them. They're just people, regardless of what's going on with them. And the book is kind of a celebration of that. And it's about trying to, and it's, you know, a rhyming poem that Kira would like herself. She loves, she says, I want to read the Kira book since it arrived last week. And she loves it. So it's trying to make it interesting and fun and bright for kids, and particularly kids with visual impairments, where that contrast is helpful.
Well, Sarah Gannon, she's a very lucky little girl to have you as her mum. Thanks so much for coming into studio this morning.
Thank you.
Book is wonderful. It's called Just See Me. It's going to be out on the 21st of this month, and everyone can pre-order it on the publisher's website, which is austinmacaulay.com, and it'll also be in some regular bookshops too, and definitely in Kilkenny, where you live. Yeah. Míle buíochas, Sarah.
Thank you so much.